Long time no pod.
Yeah, long time no pod. We took a hiatus.
Much needed, honestly.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I'm Jay.
And welcome to Highbrow Theater.
A podcast where we analyze plays.
So you don't have to.
Nice. We did
We did it. How's it going?
Listen, so remember when we were talking about Schitt's Creek last time?
Yeah.
I started watching it.
Oh,
And
yeah, you said you liked it,
it
right?
is literally one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like, no one, I mean, well, I feel like Roland is a hit or miss character with people, but Dan Levy, I'm gonna not clap, but he has the most, it's nice seeing someone like me on screen,
Yeah.
like succeeding. I guess this is the whole point of seeing yourself. What's that called?
Representation.
Representation. I was like, idealation? Is it? No, that's not even a word. But yeah, it's just, and he's like, just in relation, like there's no homophobia at all. Like that's never been a thing. It's not even, his sexuality isn't even referenced. It just, he exists as he is, you know? So it's very
That's
refreshing.
great. Yeah, people love that show. I have not seen it either. I've been meaning to watch it.
Well, there hasn't been any AIDS talk yet. So,
Yeah, I don't think there ever is.
Miss Sarah Delap, who wrote The Wolves, which is the play we're going to be talking about today,
Yeah.
is a very wonderful woman. There's not much info on her out there because there's no Wikipedia page on her, I'll say that. But it's not,
Yeah,
she's not
I
like,
bet she has like a Dramatists Guild page or
oh,
something.
fully. Her headshot. Well, they all have
Yeah.
headshots, but
Yeah, a whole natural
I
headshot.
would it, I don't know. This, it's not just like she's great, but there's no like,
She's
hang on.
young.
Yeah, very young. Like she's great at what she does, but this
She's like not
hasn't.
even 30, I don't think.
Yeah, she wrote this while in her MFA program.
Yeah, so she's real
That's
young.
crazy.
Yeah, this is the youngest playwright we've done. This is such a contemporary play.
It's
But
so different.
the reason we're doing it is because it's my birthday play.
Whoa, bow, 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 bow. Everyone be
So,
saying happy birthday right now.
yeah, so, well, my birthday was 2 days ago, but anyway.
Yeah.
Jay and I decided we were going to each pick like a good play that we like for our birthday. And I picked this play because it's very special to me because I was in a production in college. Which sounds lame, and it also is lame. But it's just like my favorite show that I've ever done. And it's really special to me. So I picked it.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting for the dynamic of being a viewer and being a participator. Like that'll
Yeah,
be a good
absolutely. Because
dynamic.
you saw me in this, didn't you?
Yeah,
Did you
front
see
row,
me in
baby.
it? Yeah. So yeah, we've had totally different experiences with this play. And I've spent obviously a lot of time like analyzing it and like doing table work and stuff because I was in it. But yeah, I mean, I skimmed through it today. I didn't completely reread it because I was like, I've done this a million times. But
Yeah.
I skimmed through it and I was like, oh, I remember a lot of the. It's like, it was kind of like seeing it for the first time again.
That's so fun. I love that.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to talk about Sarah
No,
Delap?
do not apologize for expressing your feelings. That goes to
You're right.
Olivia and to our stans.
Yeah, you're right. I love the wolves. Shout out to all my
Oh.
wolfies.
Can I get a oh? That was not part of the show. So I'm sorry. Her birthday is MIA, but her birth year is 1990. But I don't have her birthday, but in the Chinese zodiac, it's the year of the horse.
Yeah, so she's literally 30 years old. Like she's very, very
Yeah,
young.
and there was a version of this that I have that's from 2015.
So she would have been.
25.
Wow.
Adele released that album. She wrote this play, Iconic Moments in Time.
Oh, I hope I write a good play before I'm 25. Now I'm in competition with Sarah
You
Delap.
have, though.
Yeah, but not as good as this. This was like a Pulitzer Prize finalist.
I mean, maybe you just haven't talked to the right Pulitzer people.
Yeah, the Pulitzer people.
You're right. I ruined my brand. Don't worry, I'll rebrand it later. She was born in Reno, Nevada, where her dad directed the media program at the University of Nevada in Reno. So,
Wow, Reno, Nevada, huh?
I know, I just said both of those words twice. I didn't realize that when I was writing these notes out. So there's not much about her mom. I don't know the implications that that has, but her dad is a visual artist with specialties in political art and video games as an art form, which is very fun.
Yeah, that's cool as shit. Indie games are so cool.
He has a. Whoa, hang on. We'll pull that back. He has a Master of Arts in Computers and Art Design and a Master's of Fine Arts in Pictorial Arts, which, from my understanding, means that the artist tries to create a full 3D scene on a 2D canvas, if that makes sense.
It doesn't. Is that a real thing you can study? That's cool, though.
Yeah, I just going off what his
Wow.
tax statements
And
told me.
he has two master's degrees.
I know. I can
That's cool.
barely get out of bed. Like, this
I
guy's
know.
got two masters.
Yeah, and like so many, especially like I don't know, so many like theater people that I know through periphery, like people who have gone to like better schools than we went to, like people who went to NYU, people who went to, you know, wherever for theater
Carnegie
school. A
Mellon.
lot of them, yeah, a lot of them. Like their parents are already like connected in the industry or connected in a similar industry. Like I met this girl in New York whose mom is literally the casting director for Annie.
Oh my God.
And she went into theater and she was like, "Yeah, I'm really struggling." I'm like, "Oh, I fucking bet." You are not.
Yeah,
I
your
am.
mom could put you in there singing "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow" anytime she wants.
Yeah, I'm just like I in fact don't know anybody and I live in Ohio. But anyway, that's on New York City and rich people.
That's on period. Oh, I the reason why I talked about him so much was because I like seeing what the parents of the playwrights do, because it's either arts is in their blood or like they get disowned for not joining the family business. She also has an MFA from Brooklyn College in playwriting. Big shock. She said she chose this school because there were professors there with whom she wanted to study, and some of her favorite playwrights came from there. And she also brought up that Brooklyn College was really into helping the artists, quote, commit to their planet and to stake it out as their own and to continue on that journey. Which is, that's poetry.
Yeah, it's
I
very
love that.
nice.
Okay. I
And
watched a lot of interviews with her because there's not many things online.
oh, what does she look like? I haven't ever seen her face. I'm gonna look her
I'm
up.
trying to haircut, think.
Oh, she's so
I was gonna say, think
cute.
Anne Hathaway in Les Mis haircut with.
She's cute though. I like her.
Yeah,
She seems
she's a
nice.
very
She has tie dye.
soft-spoken lower voice, so it's very relaxing to listen to. I got tingles.
I feel like there's such a like. Wait, you know, it's actually kind of cool that like she's a famous woman who I admire and I don't know what she looks like. Because like it doesn't matter, you know, like so often we like sexualize famous women. It's like, oh, you know her because she's like hot. And like Sarah Dillon's pretty, but I don't know what she looks like because like her writing is what matters as far as her career.
Yeah, you don't like need that visual to know how good she is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oof.
So. Wow, that's on perceiving women.
Oh, okay. Now let's get on into this play. So, oh my God, she was a Pulitzer finalist. Whoa, but it didn't win.
What did win, I wonder? I don't know.
I didn't go that far in my research. I will get back to you later. So it was developed at the Playwrights Horizons Theater School in 2015. So like I said, she was in her MFA program when she wrote this. It opened and closed three times off Broadway.
Like in New York, or
Yeah.
just oh.
So it opened at the Duke on 42nd Street. Previews began August 29th, 2016, and opened September 11th, 2016, and it closed on September 29th of the same year.
Interesting. You know, okay, I think the reason, because this play is really popular at regional theaters and really popular at colleges. And I think that's because it feels so like it feels Midwestern, frankly, or maybe
Yeah.
I don't know, just middle American. And I feel like maybe the reason it didn't do well in New York is because, like, the experiences that I had as a young person growing up in the Midwest are, like, more analogous to The Wolves. Whereas, like, I feel like if you grow up in a really, you know, metropolitan area, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture that life, but I cannot.
Yeah, I just think it, like, the things that we do in the Midwest, like, you know, play soccer. Like, I don't know, like, do rich kids in New York play soccer?
Does anyone in
New York play soccer? Yeah, on concrete, I guess. I mean, I guess there's indoor soccer arenas. But I don't know. It feels Midwestern the way that they talk about school, the way that they talk about their surroundings. And we actually, I remember in rehearsal, tried to figure it out once. And based on the references she makes, it does seem like they're in Ohio.
I hope so.
Yeah, because they mentioned, this is a really deep dive, but they mentioned a tufted titmouse, which is a bird that's indigenous to Ohio. That was my line because I played number 46.
What was the other thing you said? Was it a boob? Boob joke?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, they were both bird things. I don't fucking remember.
And they were silly.
But anyway. They were silly.
Yeah, Ohio's like the go-to state in terms of Midwesternery and Cincinnati for some reason. Every show's like, oh yeah, they moved to Cincinnati or like...
Or Cleveland. People talk about Cleveland a lot.
That is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's so weird. The second time it opened, it was November 29th, 2016, which was a couple months after it recently closed. And then it closed that run a month later, December 29th. And then the third and final time was the longest run. It was at the Lincoln Center Theater's Mitzi Newhouse Theater, and it opened November 1st, 2017 to January 8th, 2018.
I think I actually saw a show there, the Mitzi Newhouse Theater.
Isn't Mitzi that singer you really like?
Yeah, nobody. No, but I think I've seen a show. They have like, I've only been to the Lincoln Center once, but they have this one theater that's like in a basement. And I think that's what this is. Yeah. I'm sure people in New York are like, yeah, I go there all the time, but I'm from Ohio and I don't go to New York that much. So it's cool that I've been to this.
You're being New Yorkist.
I am a little New Yorkist because like we get it. I'm also watching Broad City right now, so I think I'm ultra sensitive to it. But like, because they make fun of New York so much, and I'm like, you're right, yeah. New York, we should make fun of them. I know that they're cooler than me, but I should also be able to make fun of them.
Is it a slur to call someone a Yankee?
No, that just means American.
Oh. I know it's not really, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like yeah. The Yankees.
If someone's like, you damn Yankee. I don't know if that had like
freaking
a,
Yankee.
I guess slur wasn't the right word. Does it have a negative connotation?
Oh, that was so Tumblr of you.
I know. I'm gonna go cut my bangs straight across.
Anyway, yeah, I think, I mean, if it's said by like a person who's not American, it is, yes, like insulting. It's patronizing.
Patronizing Americans, my favorite thing to do. Oh, all of them were directed by the same woman. Her name was Lila Neugebauer, which I had to write down the pronunciation of it because it is wild.
It's vowel heavy. Yeah. For sure. That's not how I would have pronounced it.
I had to search through like four different interviews for someone to talk about her so I could get how it's pronounced. Sarah Delap's inspiration for the play, : for clarification, this is mostly going to consist of interviews. And I'm going to paraphrase what she says, but it's mostly all her words. But if it's a direct quote, I'll like say the word quote or something. So, that was a lot of rules. I hope everyone followed along. In a Fireside Chats interview at Brooklyn College, she stated that she got the inspiration for The Wolves from attending an exhibit at the New Museum about a survey of contemporary art from the Middle East and North Africa. It focused on the daily political realities of the artists who live in these parts of the world. How does that line up with what you studied?
What? Well, okay. I think she's talking about the first scene of the play, and a thing that the girls do a lot is they sort of like
casually don't realize their own privilege because they're very wrapped up in like sort of teenage things. And it's not done in a way that's patronizing at all, but it's really talking a little bit about like Western, like, I don't want to say necessarily white because the characters aren't necessarily white, but like Western rich feminism almost. And that's what the girls are growing up. And so it's slightly a critique of that. It's also celebrating these girls. So, but that's definitely present in the play.
Cool. That was lovely. No, I'm serious. That was really good. I like that.
Thank you.
Later in the interview, she stated that seeing Americans drinking cold brew and seeing news of drone bombings on their phones created such a dissonance of what we take in versus what is actually going on in the world, which inspired the first scene of the play. Which Olivia just wonderfully talked about that. So after that exhibit that she saw, she said that she holed up in her apartment and wrote the whole play in 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a short play, so I can see if you have an intention, you know, just kind of whipping through it.
I was like, are you sizing up your competition?
I literally am.
It's like, well, I mean, I guess it's short.
I mean, I could do it. I could write a Pulitzer Prize finalist play in 3 weeks, Sarah.
Yeah, and she's only her. I don't want to say her age out loud, but she's only how old she is. Anyway, and then I just screamed at my microphone. Okay. In an interview with the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, she states that, quote, "I do think of The Wolves as a war movie. As a kid, I would see so many superhero movies, Western sci-fi movies, all, of course, with almost all male casts, except for maybe the obligatory girlfriend, the mother back home, or the prostitute with a heart of gold. All of these films depict how these disparate men became one organism. They had to in order to survive. I wanted women to have the access to the same material with no limitations. So when I started writing The Wolves, I knew I wanted it to be my version of the World War II movie, only on a soccer field rather than a battlefield," which you can get the sense of that because they talk about war at least twice.
No, but this is totally, like, now that I read that, this play totally is that for me, which is cool. Like, it, because it's about, like, women who are strong and complicated, and sometimes they're really, like, they're really flawed. But we get to see them sort of be depicted as, like, heroes, and it's really, like, I never had that growing up. I watched movies about men. I watched movies about, like, adult men, movies about young men, movies about, like, little kids, like the Goonies and shit, where it's, like, they get to be heroes, but we never get to be heroes, and we never get to be complicated, and we never get to be gross and have it not be, like, made a joke, but, like, admired. It's just, yeah, this play is that for me.
Thank God. You can keep going as long as you want.
Yeah, I just, yeah, it's really, and I think it gets a little bit of, like, I was like, oh, you're doing The Wolves, that's, like, the girl
No,
play.
Definitely.
And it is, but, like, it's, there's a reason it's really special to a lot of people, because it's about girls without being, you know, a caricature.
Yeah. I was,
and I think that's why.
Oh, sorry, I was, like, I was thinking, it's about girls without being, capital A, about girls.
Yeah, it's just, the girls are the people in it, and they're grappling with things. And okay, I do want to say that this is not, like, the only all-female play.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
There's, like, there were ones before this, like, she's working in the tradition of, like, Maria Irene Fornes, who wrote Fefu and Her Friends, and, like, things like that. But, I don't know, it brought it to my generation and the way that I grew up in a way that I'd never seen.
Great.
Sorry, I'm
No, so please, much. This is your play you chose.
This is my play I chose. Okay, you can
Okay. So she was asked a question about if she was trying to break the mold of men in sports. And she said, quote, "Truthfully, I didn't feel like I was writing anything groundbreaking. I was just excited to be creating young women as full-blooded athletes and complex characters, not reduced to types like daughters, sex objects, and girlfriends." Which, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, because it's, like, just them and they're, like, a unit. Like, they don't have to worry about, they're totally separate from, like, the reality of, like, teenage girlhood, which is a reality that, like, everyone loves to make fun of. But we get to see them doing what they're good at and what they're passionate about, which is soccer. And it just like frames them totally differently.
You're gonna make me tear up. You're gonna make me act up.
Y'all gonna make me act up. You know, I wish that I could have every person that I was in the Wolves with like on here to talk about it too, but because I can't do that, I didn't want to invite any of them because then I'd be like, why are you inviting? But yeah, I think we all feel the same way about it, which is really cool. And I hope that girls who see it feel the same way about it too.
There's so much representation emotion in my life at the moment, and this is just piling on top of that.
I know, it's really special. I mean, it's something that we like, all the plays we've read so far, I mean, Maki Nal was the only one with a female author, I believe, and like, even though they're great, like, they're not about me. And they have things that I can resonate with, like, they obviously, like, existentialism and thinking about death and thinking about, you know, like, suffering. Like, of course I think about that too, but those are such broad strokes. Like, this play is about me,
bringing a full circle representation.
Yeah, it's like, it's specialized to people like me, and I've never seen it like that. I mean, I've seen other things, because like, this sort of media is like really blossoming right now, which is excellent. But yeah, it was the first theater experience I had with something like that. Theater's so like haughty all the time.
Can you spell that?
H-A-U-G-T.
Oh. I got you what you mean now. Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. Is there a cold tea? I'm sorry. Okay. Shall we move on? I'm almost done, folks. If you're here for the Olivia, I'm almost done. Oh, goodness. Okay. She said that a challenge that comes up when she's writing is what the actors are physically doing on stage while they're talking. So she wanted to give them dialogue that directly aligned with their actions and also allowed them to speak about other things, you know, like a sports team.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, not to go back to the fact that I was in it, but like, a lot of the fun of this play is like that you are like having to navigate like an acting situation, and like acting situations like require a lot of your attention and your energy when you're like responding to someone in a scene. It's not like just existing in life. So you had to do that, but then you were also like playing soccer. Yeah. It's so fun. It was so fun. It was such a fun like thing. And I think it's cool that she designed a play like that, because it divides the audience's attention too. The audience is watching them be physical, and it's also hearing these conversations, and it has to like marry those.
Yeah, it was, as a viewer, I wanted my brain to hear each individual conversation and understand them all at the same time. So I feel like I could go like infinite times and still get a new conversation.
And that's the thing about the style too. So it has a lot of overlapping dialogue and conversations happening at the same time. And like, sometimes they're like of equal importance. Mm-hmm. And as an audience member, you have to choose which one you're going to listen to. And then you may or may not like understand what's going on later in the play, which is like so fun. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I've never seen this play, so I don't know what it's like to listen to it, but I feel like it's the way that it's interactive, and that you're like, I'm in the room with them, I'm eavesdropping, I have to pick what I'm going to find important. Like, it's fun.
A choose your own adventure play.
Yeah, basically, because if you like miss like a joke that like number 46 makes later, or makes at one point, you might like not realize like something later, because like those things end up being important to the plot. Like, if someone embarrasses someone, or someone shares a secret with someone else, like, those things come up. It's very well built.
So, as Olivia said, there is a lot of overlapping dialogue in the show, which she said is meant to be like an orchestration, and that she laid out the dialogue in almost a musical manner. So she said, quote, "It was me hearing these 9 voices like 9 different musical instruments, and knowing when I wanted a little bit of violin here or a flourish of horns there. Or here we have the triangle and the oboe having a little duet on the side while the main piece continues," end quote. In the script that I was reading, everything was in lowercase, and the columns of uninterrupted dialogues almost made it seem like a group text when you're physically looking at the script.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I think the reason it's like that is because it's a representative of, like, I don't know, I feel like the ways that we communicate with each other now, like people our age, through text, whether that be like texting or like on social media, it like it denotes a different manner and a different like vibe than when you're writing things like the way that Arthur Miller writes. So when I see something written in that style, I know that I'm like, oh, they talk like me. They don't talk like someone in a Tennessee Williams play. Like they have a different manner and a different characterization and different body language and like all of that. And you see a lot of like young writers using that when they're writing about young people now, which is interesting.
Yeah. I wrote this, and as a feminist icon, I feel like I can say that it shouldn't be scary to talk about periods or sex or like your own body on stage.
I agree. And it shouldn't be like, I don't know. The fact that this play has like jokes about like tampons is like, people were like, ooh. I remember like giggling about it. And it's like, I don't know. Like, it's such a part of like life. And also growing up, like when that starts happening to you and you feel your body changing, but you can't ignore it. And yeah, it's just like, it's the physical reality of being a woman. And I'm doing it right now as we speak.
Really?
Yeah, I'm currently menstruating. Aren't you glad?
I'll call the sham wow guy.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's a thing that we have to live with, and it's part of our daily life, and it never makes it into media. I did just watch the Broad City episode, though, where they're like on the plane.
Oh my god. And she brings her a pita.
This is now
it is. We just jump around to other things we watch every now and then.
Why not?
So in commercials about menstruation products, they blue liquid. The blue liquid. It's like girls' blood is blue.
Well, it's like trying to sanitize something that is like ultimately like just messy and gross, and like we have no say in it.
But like,
I don't get it, because they're like, oh, that'll keep you dry. It won't keep you, like, you're gonna bleed all over yourself every month, and you just have to fucking put up with it. And it's never comfortable, and it's never fun.
I reaffirm your experience as a woman.
It's just like, I'm not like saying that that's the most important thing, that we need to like normalize menstruation, because there are bigger fish to fry for sure. But it is, people that don't menstruate.
But also, we can be angry about more than one thing.
That's true. You're right.
I was trying to come up with a Stefan thing, but I didn't. I need
this play has.
Oh, wait. Do you want to do it? Because it's yours. Okay.
Okay. Let me try. This play has everything. Period.
No, that's when you gotta like build the tent over your like nose and mouth, and then just then just hold it in, because John Mulaney put something in at the last minute. Just
you have
sure. Okay. This play has everything: numbers, orange slices, tampons, Dan Cortez. All right, that's the end of me talking a lot. So it is over to the birthday person.
Well, it's also your. It was your birthday too.
I know, but it's like not my turn, so I'm making your turn special.
Okay, I'll make your turn special too. But just so everyone knows, we both had a birthday.
Get into it.
Okay, so it's indoor soccer season somewhere in the United States, and these 8 high school girls have been playing together since they were little kids. But this season, there's a new girl, number 46, and she's weird. And I played her when I was in it.
She didn't really have to act.
Yeah, I'm just a fucking weirdo. I actually was like, when I got cast, I was a little bit like hurt. I was like, oh, you think I'm fucking weird? but she's not here. She's really special. She's going through stuff. So all these 9 girls have totally different personalities, and there's a bunch of little subplots and little like political things going on within their social circle. Like there's number 2, who is more religious and conservative than her friends, and she is the one who's never used a tampon. Then there's a number 14 and number 7, and they both go to Catholic school together, and they have their own little clique. There's number 11, who's sort of like becoming existential and like understanding the world for the first time. There's number 13, who's the stoner. There's number 8, who's naive but sweet. There's number 25, who is like the stressed team captain. And then number 0, who is the goalie, and she throws up before every game. And then number 46, of course, who lives in a yurt and doesn't shave her legs. So there's like all these girls, and they're all totally different, and they're all thrown together. in the soccer team, and they hang out and they know each other and they talk all the time. So every Saturday, I think it's Saturday, the girls stretch before their games and we see them. So week to week, we watch them stretch. We hear their conversations. We watch their social structure sort of ebb and flow. We watch them fight. We watch them laugh about things. We watch them learn about themselves. So like number 46 struggles to fit in because she's a new girl. Number 25, the team captain, struggles because she's like managing this team by herself. Number 7 and number 14 fight viciously because they're best friends and they also hate each other sometimes, and that's how it goes. And then at the end of the play, number 14 is struck by a car and she dies. And then the rest of the girls have to sort of cope with the death of their peer. And the play ends with the saddest monologue I've ever heard from the girl's mom. Which I cried at every single time I heard. It is so sad. Performed by my friend Mahek Sheikh, who was really good at it. And that's the end of the play. But basically, there's not a plot here. It's not like an overarching plot. We watch them deal with, you know, similar situations. We watch them, like, squabble and argue. And we watch them talk about boys and talk about school and talk about all these things. And then it's kind of over, and we just got to, like, we got to peek into all these people's lives. So this isn't your typical, you know, what, little mountain diagram, which is okay.
It's a whole mountain range.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it, the fact that it doesn't have, you know, much of, like, a, I don't know, an overarching plot? How do we feel about plays that are like that?
If this play were a movie, it would be distributed by A24 and directed by Greta Gerwig. And, like,
absolutely would. It absolutely would, and I feel like it absolutely will. Like,
because A24 loves that. Greta Gerwig loves mumblecore, so, like, it's a match made in heaven.
She loves, like, either people whispering or people absolutely shouting and knowing the pain.
Yep.
Oh my god, like, Lady Bird is literally just, like, Saoirse Ronan, like, either screaming or just, like staring wide-eyed into the camera, like, no,
that's so accurate.
I like that movie.
Oh, absolutely. But
I want to make fun of them.
We love it. We can critique it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Me too.
I make fun of things I like. Like New York.
Whoa, you just brought back our New York listeners.
New York, I love
that's
you.
I'm all right. Okay, so why do you think that the sport chosen was soccer?
Soccer is so, like, so many people have played soccer in the U.S. and I'm sure in, like, Europe as well, but it's such a, like, growing up sport, and it's such a, like, it's a sport that women, like, have permission to be really good at, and it's still a sport, you know, like, we have, like, I don't know, like, our, think about, like, the women's national, like, U.S. national mm-hmm. team, it's, like, a big deal, like, we're really impressed by, like, women who are good at soccer. It's a hard game, it requires a lot of endurance. As opposed to, like, how we see synchronized swimmers, you know? Like, even though it's just as physically demanding, probably, like, soccer, like, maybe because of its ties to masculinity, it just, like, represents strength to me. I mean, think about, like, Mia Hamm. She's someone, like, we all grew up thinking she was, like, fucking badass because she was. So, yeah, I think that's why
they picked soccer. Yeah,
And soccer's cool. People who play soccer.
Well, are cool. Not to, like, I played soccer for 8 years.
Wow. I played soccer for, like, a year when I was, like, 6 years old. And I stopped because I thought it was too much running. And they used to put me in goal and I would pick flowers
that
out of the field.
Sounds exactly like you. Like, you would do that now.
I know. I was not into the athleticism part of it at all.
I think I just stayed for the after game little mini blue Gatorades.
Oh my god.
And Gatorades. Oh my god, the orange slices.
Oh my god.
Classic.
And the orange slices, yeah. She really did nail that. I love that's my favorite scene in the whole play. It's so sweet. It's designed to be your mm-hmm. favorite scene because it's so cute. But I love, there's a picture from our production of everybody, like, posing for the fake picture in the show. And it's really cute. I love the picture.
I hope that everyone's listening. I know. I hope they all tune in.
Yeah, if you tune in and you were in that show, I love
probably
you.
Do too.
What else? Oh, you put in here that you asked if this play could be directed by a man. And I said no. Yeah, I mean, it could, of course. Of course, any play could. I just don't. Yeah,
it was
the
a good, as
of it.
in, would the message get across the way it was meant to be?
I don't think so. I think this is such a like millennial slash probably Gen Z also, like female American play. Like it defines a very particular experience. It reminds me, like,
yes, not all of it, 15, but yes.
Right? Yeah, it reminds me of that. Like, the reason that show was created by women, and I think sometimes it's directed by men, regardless. I don't know. They're talking about a really particular experience of, like, being a young woman. And I just don't think a dude would... I don't know. It doesn't feel like it would be the best version of that the play could be. I'm not saying it wouldn't be possible, but I just think... I don't know. There are things about it that only young
I was
women
also
understand.
Thinking, whenever a woman director gets attached to a project, it's always like, ooh, it's a woman. You know? Like, a woman directing a movie. Stephanie Spielberg. That one took some mental gymnastics.
Yeah, no, but that's like, yeah. So, I don't think this play should be directed by a man. I think it's important that it's like celebrating teenage girls, and I feel like men only know how to sexualize teenage girls. That's not true. I shouldn't generalize, but when you see this play is done with like the female gaze in mind, like these girls are appealing because they're like the way that I was. Like they're not like usually you see 16-year-old girls in like Riverdale and they're like wearing lingerie, you know. It's I don't know. I think yeah.
Also, you can tell when a teenage girl was written by a man or a woman.
Yeah, you can, because teenage girls written by men are usually like, and just like
what's
sexy.
The getting like a 25-year-old to play a 15-year-old, like what is that?
Yeah, like Euphoria, yeah. Which I love Euphoria, but it just like it makes like 16-year-olds having sex look like hot, and it's not like that. It's like, and shouldn't, it's a weird thing to sexualize because it's so like awkward and bumbling, and it's children. Mm-hmm. Like we're sexualizing children all the time, but
not this one.
Not this
no
play.
Way no how.
But they talk about sex, but they talk about sex in the way that 16-year-old girls talk about sex, which is that like they're eager to, I don't know, start experiencing sexuality. They're not
yeah
masters
like
of it
some of the, you know. Never mind. Shall we wrap it up on this great present?
Yeah. Do we have anything else? Do you have any closing thoughts?
No, it's just like...
What?
It was such a good viewing experience that... I'm sad for the ones that haven't seen it or that were in there and weren't paying attention.
Yeah, it's a really cool play. Like, it's, I don't know. It's really important to me. It's really sort of, like, heartwarming, but not in a way that, like, makes you cringe. It's just, like, I don't know. It's special to see young girls get to be, you know, fully bodied the way that men are. And to see that story be taken seriously and given, like, dramatic weight. And have it be, you know, a theatrical experience that we're honoring.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
I just want to say that this play's really special. And it's part of sort of an emerging force of female ensemble plays, which are really cool. Like, there's other women who are writing, like Jacqueline Backus wrote Men on Boats. And Jen Silverman wrote Bonnets, which I was actually in the world premiere show of, whatever. But... It's sort of a really cool movement that this play is sort of at the forefront of in my mind, which is just legitimizing female stories and female stories of my generation, which are usually sort of made fun of. And that's really cool.
Oh my God. So should we wrap it up?
Yeah, we shall. I would like to thank you all for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Highbrow Theater if you want to keep up with what we're doing, if you want to see the memes that we select for the page. If you like the show, if you didn't like the show, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
Oh, yeah. Review.
And leave us a review.
Step on it.
Leave us a review. Oh, we should make another thing that's like, leave us a review like this. Leave us a review with the corn emoji And yes, we'll know that you're
I love that.
Corn emoji is now our thing. We're going to like get hats like, with
do we
corn
have to like
on them.
Contact emoji headquarters?
I think it'll just be Apple. Yeah, we have to write Apple and be like, hey, we want to put this on a t-shirt.
But also there's like poop emoji like dog pillows. So I don't know if that's they have
yeah
they
the don't emoji look like them though. Branded?
Oh my god, I know. Oh, I was gonna say on the Twitter you can guess who tweeted what and you can wait for a wrong account tweet.
Oh my god,
I have
almost
like some saved
so
in the draft.
Times.
I'm like, wait a minute, that goes over here. All right, so if you'd like to support our work in artists trying times, there's a link in the podcast description. Ready? Nope.